In today's passage from the Acts of the Apostles, we read, quote, Paul left Athens and went to Corinth. There he met a Jew named Aquila, a native of Pontus, who had recently come from Italy with his wife Priscilla, because Claudius had ordered all the Jews to leave Rome. Unquote. Hello again. So there they were, Aquila and Priscilla, a Jewish couple who had recently fled Rome to Corinth to escape persecution. Their business was that of tent making, and so one day while they were there, minding their tent business, a tent maker looking for work, named Paul, came looking for a job in their workshop. Imagine that first encounter. What were their first impressions of one another? As described by biblical scholar Jerome Murphy O'Connor, this married couple's work as tent makers was ideal for the tent maker from Tarsus named Paul. Quote, the workshop was perfect for initial contacts, particularly with women. While Paul worked on a cloak or a sandal or a belt, he had the opportunity for conversation, which quickly became instruction. And further encounters were easily justified by the need for new pieces or other repairs, unquote. From a spiritual perspective, we might wonder how the Holy Spirit was acting on all three of them. Was it simply a coincidence or more like a God incident for that meeting and their decision to hire Paul, the journeyman tent maker? It was to have a major impact on the early Christian community. Not much has been said about this early Christian couple, Aquila and Priscilla, but the fact that they are mentioned six times in four different books of the New Testament indicate that this couple is one of the more interesting husband and wife teams in the entire Bible. Today's passage from the 18th chapter of Acts of the Apostle is the first of three times in this chapter. Later in the chapter we read, quote, Paul stayed in Corinth for some time after that, then said goodbye to the brothers and sisters and went to nearby Cenchrea. There he shaved his head, according to Jewish custom, making the end of a vow. Then he set sail for Syria, taking Priscilla and Aquila with him. Unquote. And then later in the chapter we read how, having arrived in Ephesus with Paul, Aquila and Priscilla helped to fine-tune the message which instructed the emerging Christian preacher, Paulo. Quote, when Priscilla and Aquila heard him preaching in the synagogue, they took Paulo aside and explained the way of God even more accurately. Unquote. Now, folks, it is important to notice a few things about this extraordinary Christian couple. First, they are chosen by Paul to go with him to Syria, and we can presume that it is not because the tent-making business would be more lucrative there. No, Paul had chosen them because he recognized their special gifts of catechizing. In effect, they were one of the first Christian catechists. Indeed, we hear how the couple served as catechists in helping Apollo get the message more accurate. A second point to note is Paul's writing Priscilla's name ahead of Aquila. That is, a female before a male's name. This was highly unusual for the times. We can presume by this designation, Priscilla has assumed a significant role as leader in the early Christian community. As I mentioned, this couple's name is used six times, and notice that they are associated with Rome, Corinth, and Ephesus. In each of these cities, we find this couple playing a prominent place in Paul's ministry, and hence in helping to form the early church. They were the strategic companions of Paul, and were thereby, in effect, the first couple who ministered as lay catechists. Not even Mary and Joseph are mentioned as a couple more than Priscilla and Aquila, and yet we rarely hear about them. Moreover, in light of what recently happened at the Vatican, we might consider the roles of Priscilla and Aquila as having even greater significance. You see, folks, this past Tuesday, Pope Francis formally established the lay ministry of the catechist. In his Antiquum Ministerium, Ancient Ministry, an apostolic letter issued motu proprio, Pope Francis formally established the lay ministry of the catechists. With the new document, lay catechists can be officially instituted into roles as ministers for their local diocese and receive recognition for what the Pope termed a stable form of service rendered to the local church. As the Holy Father wrote, quote, "It is in fact a stable form of service rendered to the Holy local church in accordance with pastoral needs identified by the local ordinary, yet one carried out as a work of the laity, as demanded by the very nature of the ministry. It is fitting that those called to the instituted ministry of catechists be men and women of deep faith and human maturity, active participants in the life of the Christian community, capable of welcoming others, being generous, and living a life of fraternal communion. They should also receive suitable biblical, theological, pastoral, and pedagogical formation to be competent communicators of the truth of the faith, and they should have some form of prior experience of catechists. It is essential that they be faithful co-workers with priests and deacons, prepared to exercise their ministry wherever it may prove necessary, and motivated by true apostolic enthusiasm," unquote. As Catholic columnist Philo Sagano recently wrote about this, quote, The Pope sees many flowers in the church's fields, lectors, acolytes, catechists, pastoral life coordinators, deacons, and priests, all in particular churches led, not managed, by bishops. This motu proprio document on catechists does not eliminate ordination as necessary for sacramental and ministry, but it expands the notion of evangelization. Yes, the ordained can evangelize, but the specific training, skills, personalities, and availabilities required for actual catechesis may be better found among the laity," unquote. Friends, through today's readings about the catechetical witness of Priscilla and Agrippa, and with Tuesday's announcement of the establishment of the catechetical ministry, we might conclude that just as in the past, as seen in the example of Priscilla and Agrippa, without lay leadership, there is no Catholic Church.